Well, we come to the end of a year, right? Of course, we know nothing's really ending. You know, wake up on Tuesday and it's not going to be anything fundamentally changed about the world. But it's good to have those markers, right? We take the boys on road trips. They want to know how much longer, how far have we gone. Figured out that we could tell them, well, there's these little signs on the side of the road. We went on the expressway with numbers on them. Don't ask until you see this number, right? So, see those signs flying by, and they call out the numbers, which sometimes gets about as annoying as the asking how long it's going to be. But, you know, they get the sense that every mile, you see that going by. That's really what we have. We have, with a new year coming up, sometimes it feels like we just did this. I don't know. I feel like I remember very clearly preaching on December 31st last year. Seems like it wasn't that long ago. We were talking about Nehemiah chapter 8. That Ezra standing in front of the people, reading the law after the wall was completed, after they had Jerusalem being rebuilt. And we talked about the way the people responded to the reading of the law. They read for hours on end and came back every day to see and hear the reading of the law. They rededicated themselves and they noticed things that they were supposed to be doing and weren't doing, and so they changed that, and we talked about that, and that led into our reading plan for 2018, which, not much time to catch up if you're behind, but I think we've been reading along, and we put up these five columns for our four classes plus one studying at home. This is my copy that I keep at home where I mark which the sermon's coming from each week. Try to cover a lot of stuff there. And we read through the Bible. We read through all of these things. We studied together in our various classes, studying through the Bible. And just like when we say the year coming to a close, nothing's really ending. The same thing with our study of the Bible. Yes, we read through the whole Bible, and now we're going to keep studying the Bible. We're going to keep trying to learn more, keep trying to understand better the things that God has for us, the things that God wants us to be. We're going to stay in study of the Bible, even if we're not on a reading plan for the year. But as we are coming to the end of December, but it might not be nice at the end of this reading plan to put a nice bow on it, so to speak. I use that phrase not just because we had Christmas last week and not just to say closing things up, but I was thinking about this image of a bow, the way we top a present, or you might wear something in your hair or on your shoe. When you take a bow, when you make a bow, you take one piece of material, right? You take a bow is really from one strip of fabric, one lace, one piece, and you figure out ways to move it around, figure out the potential there, and it turns into something beautiful. Like you see there, even an elaborate bow comes from one piece. And we've been talking all year about this one story that is presented in the Bible, this one thread that goes through of God seeking relationship with his people. And as we learn what's in the text, now we may not be experts, We may not know everything and have all the answers in the Bible, but I hope, having spent some time in the text, and maybe even some less familiar texts this year, I hope we have a little more familiarity. I've talked about having these ideas in our hip pocket or in our holsters. Are we ready to pull it out and use it? But as we learn how to work with all this different material from this one big story, we can start to weave it together. We can start to be able to take this story and present it as something beautiful as it is. And I can only speak for my own place in where I stand from having gone through this reading challenge in the year. But I think maybe some of the things that we might say, so the place where we are, where we stand as we close up this reading challenge, perhaps the texts that we looked at this past week, in this final week, might be representative of some of the ways that we feel at the close of such a challenge as we try to wrap it up and put a bow on it. Maybe the feelings are best demonstrated by Psalm 150, the end of column 5. The last psalm, if you remember, we started off with some psalms that were not all that positive. We started off, we talked about lament, and we talked about some of those early psalms that talk about the hard times that God's people went through. And that was a lot of the early psalms. And that started to go down. And as we get to the midpoint of the psalms, we start to see a lot more of these psalms of praise. And did you notice this week's reading? There is no lament to be found. When we come to the end of the psalms, we come to the end of this book of worship, there's no mistaking what the key theme in this last psalm is. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? In my Survey of Biblical Literature class, my quizzes, I like to say that if you've done the reading, you're going to be fine. And have a quiz question when they're supposed to have read this, that what word shows up, I think, about 13 times in Psalm 150. You don't read it without catching that. Right? Maybe at the end of making it through, and you know the stats are in the bulletin, 66 books and 1,189 chapters, and you know, breaks down further. Maybe when you come to the end of that and you see this whole picture laid out and presented so beautifully, maybe you come away saying, praise the Lord. Maybe you come out of it and your reflection is gratitude or awe at all of the things that we see in the Bible, the way God worked from the very beginning, before humans even, and the way God works even through today. And I know we got 2 more weeks of Revelation coming, which is going to talk about even later, that God has woven this together. And maybe that's where you stand. Praise the Lord. What a good way to end the year and turn over to the next one in praise. Or maybe this study and the close of 2018 leaves you more reflective, looking back at the things of the past, the things that have been done. Maybe you stand in the place of Zechariah, which is where we closed the Tuesday class this year. Zechariah is about the time of settling in to the new temple. It's about after those rebuilding times done by Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai, they've done their work, and now they're in the new temple, and they're putting in new leaders, as with one guy with a normalish name, Joshua, another guy, Zerubbabel, maybe less normal. And they're trying to figure out how can we learn from the past so that we can move forward. And so maybe we're in a place of reflection. And Zechariah talks about all the things and all the problems that were before, and he says, but on that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. So there were problems. We did not look like this before, but now we have rebuilt and we're trying to move on from that. And maybe that's where you stand. A lot of things happened this past year, on large scale and on personal scale. Maybe you're ready to look at the things behind and let them be behind. And maybe at this mile marker, that's a good place for that. And maybe as we conclude reading through the Bible, you say, there are some things that I recognize in myself, where I look like some of the people we talked about in the Bible, and I want to leave that behind. Maybe it's a time for looking backwards. Maybe it's a time for looking forward. Maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. Maybe that's two sides of the same coin. And two of our readings kind of make sense as they close two of the Testaments. At the end of the Old Testament, we have Malachi, who looks forward to the new time of the sun, the rise of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in its wings. This is a little bit after Zechariah, where they're into the new temple. They're still looking for that national identity. So what can we be? This promise that they've had from all the way back, can we say to the garden, at least say what to the ark, to Abraham, this promise of what God says my people are to be. And they're still trying to find that. And Malachi says to look forward to this time, the rise of the Sun of Righteousness, healing in its wings. He talks about some other, perhaps mile markers, that Elijah is going to come first. Of course, we look in Matthew, and Jesus says that was John the Baptist. And when this happens, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or come and strike the land with total destruction. But you know, there's this hope. There's this hope of the potential of what God can do with his people. And we see a similar thing at the end of Revelation. We read it. Haven't studied it yet. We will. We read the end of Revelation, which talks about, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give each person according to what they have done. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, first and last. Go down to 16 there. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. He'll call and say, come. Maybe when we come to the conclusion, come to the end of a year, end of a study, we are hopeful for that future. Even if we don't know what. Well, I should say, on the calendar, we know when it's coming, we don't know what it is. And our faith, we don't know when it's coming, but we do know what it is. Did I say that right? I didn't mix that up. Okay. Rachel usually checks that on me. We have that hope. We may not have all of the details or the schedule, but when we come to the end of the text, when we come to the end of the year, perhaps we are looking with hope and seeing how we can take those things and have hope going forward. Our last text of this week, I want to spend a little more time on. And we're going to study this one this evening. So I guess we haven't done that yet. But I'm sure you've read ahead. At the end of the book of Acts, we get not exactly a conclusion, but we have Paul has been going through different trials. We talked about this some 2 weeks ago. And he's on his way to Rome because he has appealed to Caesar. And he's had several trials along the way. And finally they put him on a boat. We're going to go see Caesar. And there's storms and a shipwreck. And he's the one seeming very calm in the middle of all of that. Maybe seeming a little bit like Jonah. Maybe seeming a little bit like Jesus in the middle of the storm. But we come down to the end of it. We don't actually get the end of Paul's trials. We don't see him standing before Caesar. But they stop, and it gets a little house. And this shouldn't perhaps surprise us about Paul. He starts preaching. He goes to he calls together Jewish leaders in the area there in Rome and starts to teach to them. Starts to talk about what he went through back in Jerusalem. Starts to speak to them about the gospel. And they said, "We haven't heard any charges against you. We heard some things about Jesus. Can you tell us more?" So he did. And says some of them accepted, some of them didn't. And then the book ends by saying, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It's a little disappointing if you're looking for the end of a narrative arc of Paul's story, as we see him having all this success, preaching, going place to place, and being warned, don't go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested, and that happens. And through all these trials, we expect this nice happy ending, and we don't get maybe what we're looking for as a narrative arc. But what we get is what we're supposed to see as more important here. The book of Acts wasn't about Paul getting justice or staying safe. The book of Acts was about the spread of the word. Remember, at the beginning of the book of Acts, we had, 11 believers? Maybe, I think it said 120 at the time of Pentecost, and suddenly this explosion with 3,000, that's better, 3,000 at Pentecost. And it says added the number day after day, and we see Peter preaching and teaching and speaking, and he goes and baptizes Cornelius in his house. And he goes to more and more. And then we transition over to Paul. We see him just spreading this word further and further and talking to more and more people. And what does the church look like by the end of the book of Acts? We don't have numbers. We don't have exact geography. But look at what happened. We can look back at the beginning of the book of Acts there, where Jesus said, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we see this picture starting to look like that, spreading further and further. And Paul may not have gotten justice. We don't know exactly the end of Paul's story there. But we know he used every opportunity to find a new audience, to teach. He could have stayed and gone back to Jerusalem and may or may not have been safe. We don't know. But he appealed to Caesar because he wanted to take the message to Caesar. He was appointed, as chapter 9 says, as the apostle to the Gentiles and to their kings. He said, well, I better go see some kings. And along the way, he appears to King Agrippa, and he's headed to Caesar. And Paul finds ways to bring this message. I don't know if this is praising the Lord. I don't know if this is looking backwards or looking forward. But I think Paul was willing to use whatever tools he had in the toolbox, whatever opportunities he had in front of him, to share the word. To share the things he knew. He knew an awful lot. People recognized that. And at the end here, it doesn't talk about justice, it doesn't talk about safety. It talks about proclaiming, teaching, boldness, and without hindrance. As we close this year, as we come to the end of this study, as we put a bow on it, I think it's good to have any of these reactions we talked about, praising the Lord, looking backward, looking forward. But let's not miss the example of Paul here. It's a wonderful thing to study God's word and to know what's there and to learn some of the names and to learn that story. But if we keep it here, we're missing out on a lot more that can be done. It is good to have these tools in the toolbox. I hope that we all feel more prepared than we did a year ago when we were talking about Nehemiah and Ezra. I hope we feel more prepared. And as we prepare, we need to move forward because the reason you put a bow on a present is to give it away. And as we finish up our study through the Bible, for this new year, I want us to look at how we can take that and turn it outward. How we can let our community know, how we can let this world know this story. How we can, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, when we talked about the way Christians might be viewed by outsiders, how can we present ourselves in a way that can make others receptive to what we have? So we're going to spend a good chunk of this year looking at the fruit of the Spirit. I'll have more to set up next week, but we're going to take about a month on each of the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Those things that it says that if we are living what we see in God's Word, that these things are going to grow. And these things are going to be noticed. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're going to look at these traits and what is distinct about each of them. We're going to look at examples both from the Bible and from outside the Bible of people that typify these ideas, who excel in showing these fruits of the Spirit. We're going to look at what Jesus had to say or serve as an example, how Jesus came in contact with each of these fruits of the Spirit, and then we're going to talk about how we can live it out. Because we can't spend all our life with our nose in the book, studying off in a corner. It's important. We need to know what's there. But if we can't get out and show this to somebody, I think we're missing out. So that's going to be something we're going to hopefully spend a lot of time talking about over this next year. And if you have ideas, I want to hear them. We're better when we work together. We're better when we collaborate. So wherever you stand this morning, whether you're thinking about praise or whether you're thinking about the past or thinking about the future or say neighbors and what we can do, let's share it together. If there's anything you need this morning, if you want to respond in any way to our study, if there's anything you need to share, we want to hear it. This is family time. That's what we do. Let us know. Come forward and we stand and sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus.